Regarding the Blessed Mother, St. Maximian Kolbe, whose memorial we actually celebrate on the 14th, the day before the Assumption, he wrote, "It is beyond all doubt that Mary's will represents to us the will of God himself. By dedicating ourselves to her, we become in her hands instruments of God's mercy, even as she was such an instrument in God's hands. We should let ourselves be guided and led by Mary and rest quiet and secure in her hands. She will watch out for us, provide for us, answer our needs of body and spirit. She will dissolve all difficulties and worries." As we celebrate the Assumption of Mary into heaven, we can see the truth behind Maximian Kolbe's words. For those that don't know, Maximian Kolbe was a Polish priest killed in Auschwitz. His death took place one day when, after an attempted breakout, the Nazis chose 10 men at random to die. While not initially chosen, Kolbe took the place of a Jewish man who had a wife and children. Miraculously, the Nazis heeded Kolbe's intercession, took him, and put the Jewish man back in line. This man would survive the war and live out his days dying at an old age. Kolbe, however, would be subjected to 2 weeks of starvation, neglect, and thirst, being the last of the 10 to die, giving comfort to the other 9 all the while. However, Kolbe also founded a movement that still exists today and is dedicated to the Blessed Mother, a movement known as the Immaculata Movement. Kolbe knew that Mary could bring healing and comfort in times of suffering. Hence, he wrote that quote above. So we can ask ourselves then, how does Mary bring relief? Especially if Kolbe had to endure this evil, where's the relief in that? That's the great mystery, though, that we celebrate today. Mary shows us that the peace and the relief that God gives is not always something tangible, but something internal. Something that guides us all the days of our life, and something that helps us to see God's will, even in the darkest of circumstances. If we look to Mary, we can see how this is true. Scripture never records Mary as being upset or agitated, as it does with other figures, such as the apostles and even Christ himself. Why? Because through it all, Mary held God's word in her heart and kept her gaze fixed on him. This alone gave meaning to all of Mary's life. And it's this that allowed her to endure all things and even watch the death of her son. Think, for example, about Mary. She is, after all, the first evangelist. After her visit with the angel Gabriel, she goes out. She shares the good news with her cousin Elizabeth. And it's here Luke records that her soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord and rejoices in God her Savior. These words show how Mary's heart was open to the Lord and his plan for her life. Her will is God's will. As she says yes to God, she is then able to give others the invitation to say yes, to see God's goodness and mercy, and to rejoice as Elizabeth did in that mercy as Mary introduces us to her son. In saying yes to God, Mary couldn't see exactly how everything would play out. She didn't need to, and neither do we. Like Mary, we are called to trust in God, for he is good and desires for us only that which is good. Mary believed this in her heart, and she invites us to believe the same. This is especially important as we endure so many difficulties personally and as a church, even today. We cannot always see the entirety of God's plan, and that's all right. We need only trust and keep our gaze fixed on the Lord. Doing so provides a landmark, a beacon, to light our way and to help us to stay focused on our goal, eternal union with Christ. Colby knew this when he made the switch for that man's life. Though he knew it meant his own life, he made it willingly, and he acted without knowing all the details and the small minutiae of how it was going to play out, trusting, like Mary, that God's plan was good enough for him. Mary allowed Maximilian Kolbe to keep his gaze on Christ. And if we follow suit, then Christ will become the lens through which we see all things and all people, making it possible to love as he does. That's why Maximilian Kolbe could take the place of a Jewish man he'd never met, because he could see through the lens of Christ, see through the lens of God's will. With Mary's help, then, we will also be able to see how the crosses in our life are not symbols of shame, nor are they the triumph of evil, but rather are signs of God's love. A love that pours itself out upon us for our sake to remind us that we never suffer alone. Everyone thought in Mary's day that the cross was a sign of triumph of evil and shame. Everyone, that is, except Mary and Jesus. Yet rather than running from the cross, they both embraced it. And only then did the cross turn into God's greatest victory. So Mary, as she stands at the foot of the cross, invites us to embrace our own crosses and gives us the strength as well to trust and to follow God's plan. Mary always provides. If we look in John's gospel at a wedding in Cana, we see Mary taking action on behalf of others as she takes the needs of the bride and groom to Christ, her son. Then she turns back to the couple and says simply, "Do whatever he tells you." What wisdom are found in these simple words, even for us today? We can ask ourselves then, how many times do we seek to do things my way, our way, but not God's way? Yet what fruits does this really produce? More often than not, doing it my way, doing it our way, and not God's way causes division, hardship, separation, and pain. But for the couple at this wedding, listening to Christ brought them many blessings. Biblically, wine is associated with an abundance of God's presence and blessing. And so for Christ to bring the best wine and in a superabundant quantity, literally means that this couple has an overabundance of God's blessings pouring out upon them. And it was Mary who carried their need to Christ. Mary provided them this opportunity to encounter God's grace. Mary's desire is for us as well to heed Christ's words, and in so doing, experience God's abundant blessings in our own life, as she carries our needs before the throne of her son, a request which he will never deny, because it is asked in faith, in love, and in the trust of our Blessed Mother. Then if we look to the presentation of Christ in the temple, here we see, according to Jewish law, Mary and Joseph give thanks to God for the birth of their son. And yet there looms over this moment of joy the shadow of the cross, as Mary is told that a sword will pierce her heart and that Christ will be a sign that will be contradicted. An obvious foreshadowing of the crucifixion, but it reveals the role that Mary will play as she, at the foot of the cross, watches her son die in shame, in anonymity, and to mockery. But Mary stands for us and with us at the foot of Christ's cross as she receives his great sacrifice into her soul so that we can breathe deeply the life-giving, dying breath of Jesus Christ from the cross. Despite the pain of watching him die, Mary holds in her heart the Lord and what he has done for her, and she trusts in his plan. Mary's prayers of intercession again provide us with a moment of grace, where we too can see God's presence in our life, as Simeon and Anna did at the presentation, who, able to rejoice at having seen God's Messiah with their own eyes, prophesy the life-giving power of the cross. Mary provided for Simeon and Anna, for that couple at Cana, and she provides for us the same opportunity if we but accompany her along the way. But lastly, Mary reveals for us the will of God for each one of us. Tradition tells us that Mary never had to endure death, the consequence that was brought into the world as a result of the fall and original sin. And so today's celebration then actually goes hand in hand and fulfills the Immaculate Conception, the grace that God gave to Mary that protected her from sin altogether. And as Mary is assumed into heaven, we get a glimpse of what God has in store for us, what his desire is for each one of us. In Mary's assumption, we contemplate the crowning of her faith, of that journey of faith, which she points out to the church and to each one of us. The one who at every moment welcomed the word of God is taken up into heaven. In other words, she herself is received by the Son in the dwelling place which he prepared for us with his death and resurrection. Mother Mary affords us a glimpse of what is to come. So let us today then ask her to help us always to follow Christ and to see the good things that God has in store for each of us.